ESPN 97.5 and ESPN 92.5. Presented by Zadok Jewelers. KFNC and KFNC HD2 on Bellevue, Houston. Now, this is the Press Box on ESPN 97.5.
And on ESPN 92.5.
Powered by Infuse Energy, affordable, hassle-free energy from a company that has your back. Live from the Veritex Community Bank Studios, here's Joel Blank and Nick Sciarra.
I got to be honest with you, peeps. As boxers, it doesn't get any better than this. Rolled through the first 2 hours, always something that Nick and I wanted to do, and we got a chance
Twitch.
To do it with you. Lots of fun on Twitch, phenomenal numbers throughout the show, great responses, I think. The D-bag quotient went way down on text, so we're having a good time doing this.
What, you don't miss those D-bags on text anymore?
I really don't.
I don't blame you. I do not blame you.
I think we put the number at some like 90-some percent, but it's that other whatever some percent that sometimes can, when you're having a day.
I know. I've had my own meltdowns. I've been pretty good about not having any more meltdowns, but I've had my own meltdowns from some of these texters.
Someone said to you on text that I need to check my DMs on Twitter, which is a scary proposition, but I did do just that, and there's nothing there. Now, I did get some tweets that were not DMs that was telling me about Dustin Brooks, who does a neuromuscular stuff. My back's okay now.
Yeah, he's all
I'm all good now. At the time, this could have been useful.
And it was nice meeting some of you guys I see on Twitch.
Yeah.
JasonFan713, it was nice to meet you. It was nice to meet Q. It was nice to meet MW Soulgrove at Josh's thing. I showed up late, but it was nice to see some of the 97 fivers there. And it was nice to meet listeners because we're obviously in some crazy times. And I've told you, I've been on record before. I miss the listener appreciation party. I miss interacting with some of the listeners that have been loyals and non-loyals and new followers. So it was nice meeting everybody. And I'm glad you're healthy, man. You don't need no more needles being stuck in your back anyway.
You know what's weird is because, like I said, now that with this new time slot, going back to our original time slot, having all this time before the show has been great. So, like I said, I did 90 minutes on the treadmill today, and I'm walking around going in the office. I'm going, where is everybody? And I feel like I don't need coffee like normally halfway through the show I do, and maybe it's because the energy we got going too.
Yeah.
But I looked and I was like, you know what? I already worked out today, so I feel better. And I hope it's a sign of things to come. So,
that's the other thing. Do you prefer working out in the morning as opposed to night?
So here's the thing. So in high school, we used to have off-season workouts in the mornings. And then when I went to college to play baseball, we had off-season. We had a big field house, but our track team was like national champions. So we shared it with track and something else. So it was a 3-week cycle where one off-season workouts, like, say, in the wintertime, and it was already a bitch getting to the field house with the snow and everything like that. But baseball would work out the first week from 10 p.m. until 1 in the morning. Then the following week, we'd work out from 5:30 a.m. until 8 a.m. so we could make class. And then the third week we loved because it was 7 o'clock to 10 o'clock at night, and that was easier. But we went on a 3-week cycle. And, of course, in the mornings at 5:30 in the morning, and you got to run as pitchers. You ran a mile to warm up, you ran 3 miles during practice, and then you went through the rest of practice, whether it be if you were throwing that day or all the drill work and all the other things you had to do. And so it took. I was not a morning person for that, and I would throw up a lot because running 4 or 5 miles is one thing, but running 4 or 5 miles before 8 a.m. is not what I signed up to do. That's when you get into the ROTC.
Agreed.
Right?
Agreed. No, yeah. I see, for me, when I was really actually working out, I would only do it in the mornings. The problem became that what I would do at night or following always ruined everything I did in the workouts, whether it was alcohol or I'm drinking too much or I'm eating food. So my sleep got better at the beginning because of the way I carried myself at night. It just didn't really do any good. When I started working out at night, I slept better every single time, as opposed to when I worked out in the morning, it wasn't always guaranteed that I was going to have some decent sleep. So for someone like me, I tend to agree with you. I'm not trying to work out at 6 o'clock in the morning. Mm-mm. I'd rather work at night. And that way I can sleep a little bit better. So that's just me personally. So,
all right, let me get to this Bregman story because people are asking for it. We need to get to it. It's something that I found very disturbing and I was pretty passionate about when you and I were talking about it. So I brought it up on the show. Chandler Rome, who has been known before as he covers the Astros, to really let it out there. He was the first one to say Verlander needed the Tommy John surgery.
Stuck
the
to Astros a story.
Denied it. Stuck to it. He was spot on. So it's not something I'm going to doubt him on. But the Astros in the preseason game yesterday, Chandler Rome tweets, a member of ballpark security here at Roger Dean Stadium wearing the official polo with security in big letters on the back just spent Alex Bregman's entire at-bat banging a trash can before every pitch. Bregman struck out looking. I'm going to tell you something right now. And I said to Nick, I almost went old school radio today, and I almost called the stadium and asked for the director of security and asked him if he had anything to say live on radio in Houston for the fact that if indeed this guy wasn't an imposter, he was paid for by this stadium, whether it be by the team or I would assume just the stadium, whatever the case may be, in full uniform representing his job working for, like I said, the team of the stadium, and you went out of your way to bang a trash can when a member of the Astros was hitting, you should lose your job.
I tend to, and you know how, we're both like this. We hate it when people lose jobs.
We have anybody lose their job.
I'm with you. Bye. He was a part of the Roger Dean Stadium yep. security. Bye. Like, I mean, you're obviously there to antagonize, and you did not pay for a ticket to do so, in my opinion. We always talk about, man, these fans are getting out of hand. And I know they paid for the ticket, but they're getting out of hand. There's some times where the fans do go overboard. We always talk about the venue with the Utah Jazz and how they're just too damn close to players. I can understand situations like that, but you didn't even pay for a ticket, bro, and you're sitting here. And the thing is, I've never, ever, ever been mad about someone banging a trash can. Right? The Astros cheated. They deserve some heat.
You bring up a good question. A great point, though, Nick. If you have the time to bang a garbage can, you don't have the time to do your job.
Are you doing your job?
Your job is to provide security, which means avoid fans being unruly, throwing things onto the field, getting in fights, sitting in the wrong seats, whatever the case may be. But if you have a garbage can in one hand and something to bang on it with in the other hand, how the hell are you doing your job in the first place? You don't deserve to have that job.
Agreed. Now, if they go out with it's someone to just have a body there, maybe a gatekeeper, maybe his job requirement did not entail a lot of work where he just had to watch. So it gave him the opportunity to kind of hit the trash can and do the job at the same time. Maybe that's the case. So I wouldn't be terribly angry if they came down with some sort of, I don't know, suspension, maybe not make him lose his job, but maybe take a pay cut for a couple of days and then come back. I wouldn't be mad at that. But I also wouldn't be mad if he lost his job because you are not a paying fan. I think paying fans have the right to say more things and do things. As long as it's not anything physical or if you're not throwing anything at the players, you can start – like when the Astros pitchers start to warm up in the bullpen and fans are right there.
Fans are right there, yeah.
I mean, you expect some verbal abuse. Like sure. It's going to happen.
On the road, for sure, right?
On the road more. For some reason, we had an incident where it was at home. I don't know if he was an Astros fan, but it might have been a transplant fan of some sort. But expect that. Expect the verbal abuse. That's not going anywhere. But from a security guard, dude?
Paying fans are allowed to bring the signs unless certain minor league parks took the signs away last year. But paying fans, as long as you don't cross the line with language and some of the things that you say, you paid for a ticket. Just like you can cheer, you can boo, you can express your opinions.
And the tweet, I didn't see the plate appearance, but according to the tweet, he looked, struck when he struck out and he was looking. He would look like the worst guy in the event that he went to the Roger Dean Stadium staff and said, did you see that guy do that? I don't know if he did, but I wonder because I think it would make him look petty and it would make him look more of a loser to people outside of the Astros market and say, look, this guy literally complained about a security card. Like, I think he really would look petty, and he may not even been able to say anything. I haven't seen anything in the story that told me he did complain, but it would be way juicier for a story if that was someone on the Astros or the Minute Maid security.
Right, right. Here's the thing. That's where whether you're a vendor selling hot dogs and beer or you're a security guard, you have a job to do. You aren't going to be able to do your job adequately if you're spending your time during the game when you're supposed to be doing your job banging on a trash can. And now, Nick, I'm going to cross into my voice when we do cross into the idiots who decide to text us a certain way with a certain comment. Just going to read it for you, you snowflake. Here it is. Instead of being snowflakes, why not laugh at what the guy did? It's funny. Quit trying to get people fired. How about quit having a guy not do his job, 832? Because if he's doing his job, he ain't banging the can and we ain't having the conversation.
If you listen to this show long enough, you know that we are very anti-people losing their jobs.
Yes.
Unless it's egregious. You know, if you rape someone, I don't care if you lost your job. I hope you lose your freedom. If you kill someone, I hope you lose your freedom. I don't care. If you sexually assault someone, I absolutely hope you lose your freedom. You know what I mean? But I don't want anybody to lose their job if I don't think it's justifiable. Now, a security guard, I don't know if that's a high-paying gig, so I can see how there can be some leniency. That guy may not be able to get another job. He's probably not in a high-paying gig. Maybe that manufactures some leniency for the guy. I don't know what the situation is, and I don't know how much money that guy is getting paid by Roger Dean.
Now, we have a guy with a dad joke, or a male or female. Someone texted in and said, have either one of you ever banged a garbage can? Now, that's funny. That's a dad joke, but that's funny. Okay, so we're going to let that fly. And then, Nick, this is another one where I just have to call it like I see it. It's a 225 area code, and it says, Joel stereotyping rednecks. You know you're a redneck when you call yourself one, but you don't want me to use a voice where I didn't call anybody anything. It's the voice I use when I get these dumb text messages. Okay? Because I don't offend anybody with it. I just think it's a certain person, the way they're talking. Sometimes we just get calls like this, too. It's okay. It's all good.
I'll tell you what. These texters be infusing energy into your words. I'll tell you that right now.
Well, I can tell you this. If you want to infuse energy into your life, it's the smartest thing that you actually can do because of the fact that, look, if you're looking for a new energy provider or you've been with a big energy provider for a long period of time, and when you don't get informed that your deal has expired and they change the rates on you and they charge you a whole bunch more money and they don't take the time for common decency to let you know, it's time to get a new energy provider. I switched to Infuse Energy about 4 or 5 years ago. I've re-upped with them several times. I've hooked up a bunch of listeners to get involved with Infuse Energy. And in return, they have tweeted me and texted me and told me they got the lowest energy bills that they've ever gotten. So many employees here, too, have made the switch, and you can, too. It's simple. It's easy. It's going to save you money. It's worth your time and energy. All you got to do is call 844-INFUSE-2. 844-463-8732. You can also go to infuseenergy.com. But right off the top, you mentioned ESPN 97.5. You're going to save $25 on your first bill with a bill credit. And they're going to take the process from there. They're going to be 100% honest all of the time. That means there's going to be times that they're going to tell you that there's another company out there that can beat their rates and prices, and they'll let you know who it is. You may not go with them this time, but you'll be back to check with them again because they took the time to be 100% honest with you, which most companies just don't do. And simply put, if you do make the switch, you'll find out they are enthusiastic about taking care of their customers. You got the best rating in the business, 5 out of 5 stars from the Public Utilities Commission of Texas, and they take care of you every step of the way. It's affordable, hassle-free energy from a company that has your back. Also, 100% green energy at your fingertips. Do what I did. You'll be glad you did. Infuse energy into your life.
ESPN 97.5. This is the Press Box on ESPN 97.5.
And on ESPN 92.5.
Powered by Infuse Energy, affordable, hassle-free energy from a company that has your back. Live from the Veritex Community Bank Studios, here's Joel Blank and Nick Sciarra.
Hey, back on the Press Box, having a freaking great old time as we roll through the first show in studio after the first show last week started Friday at Over Under Sports Bar and Grill. If you weren't there, you missed it. It was a good time had by all, and we had some fun. But now back in the studio, it feels even better. It feels right. So many of you giving us some great feedback, and we appreciate it because we're doing this for you, and we need you to support us. And at the same time, we're going to keep doing what we do and have some good fun with it.
Absolutely.
318 area code says, I love the voice. Keep doing it. I'm not offended. I love that. Appreciate that. Thanks for chiming in.
I think a lot of people get a kick out of it. I'm sure some people get offended, but that's just what we do.
Some people want to call us a snowflake.
Yeah, I'm sure.
Let me ask you a question, Buckaroo. You or me, who's had more experience with snow? Okay, I think.
Oh yeah, forgot about that
conversation right on there. How about
speaking of conversations? I'm having a very interesting conversation on the Twitch.
Mia Khalifa?
No, they're saying that we're debating as to whether or not a lap dance is still going for about $20 a pop. Apparently, Tuesday Texter feels like there's a particular. Is it Tuesday Texter? Yeah, Tuesday Texter feels like there's a particular strip club in the city that want to charge you $100 for three dances, and he feels like us men can't do math because that technically be what $33 and some change for each lap dance. And I responded saying, "Isn't $20 a lap dance kind of low now? Because I feel like in LA, the strip clubs are not charging you $20 a lap dance. Like I feel like the cost of life." It's too expensive. If I'm not mistaken, my buddy in Cali now says gas is like $4. It's right back to skyrocketing numbers as it was in the past. I don't know if I'm paying more than $20 for a lap dance, but if you're paying any more than that, that's a lot of, I mean, you got to be loaded. Like I got to know someone rich and is willing to pay for my lap dances if I'm paying anything more than $20 a lap dance. Now, strip clubs are not my thing and I haven't gone in a really long time. With an exception, because like in Las Vegas, it's the trend is big. It's a club, but it's also a strip club at the same time. That's a big trend. So I guess I have, but I'm not big on strip clubs. Regardless, if I'm willing to go, I'm capping myself at about $20. So you're not getting a penny more than $20 for a lap dance. What say you, Joel?
I mean, as long as I can remember, that was the going rate, right? I mean, you're not for no contact at all, then you just give them singles while they're on stage doing their dance. When they sit down with you, I'm not going to say where they sit, but
like the private dance.
Semi-private,
I guess.
Right, which could, I'm not going to lie, we know could be taken to a private location.
Absolutely, yeah.
But for the right price. And I think that, yeah, a dance was normally $20. And then at the end, depending on how many dances and the job you thought she did.
20 plus tips is fair. You still got a tip after you've paid?
You could tip. It's up to you. But at least the minimum was you had. Yeah, I'm sure they did.
I paid you $20 a dance, and now you want me to tip you? I don't get it. I don't subscribe to that rule. If I say, give me 5 lab dances, guess what? You're getting $100. You're not getting any more. What is this tip business?
I think $20 a dance is the going rate, and whether you tip or not, they can't be upset with the fact. Because, I mean, basically you could turn it around on them and say, well, then I don't think you did. I mean, rating your performance, I
don't think you're up to par
appropriately.
Yeah, I guess you can do that. Now, someone said if you haggle them, it could
you
be taken
the
wrong.
You got to work for it. Never mind.
But someone said if you haggle them, you know, it can be taken the wrong way. I don't know exactly what he means, but I can see a situation where if you start trying to negotiate the price, well, on to the next, homie. There's about 50 other dudes that's willing to pay me this price. So see ya. But I don't think I've ever given a tip in addition to the number of lab dances I paid for. You get what I'm saying? I don't think I've ever done that.
Well, then basically you were going to the wrong place or you're just that cheap. But maybe. The thing is that essentially it's like the unwritten rule. I think the understanding is just like anything else. I mean, if you have a server, and again, I'm using this from a restaurant. Now I'm now in a restaurant, okay, guys? I'm out of the strip club temporarily. If the server went above and beyond and really did a great job, you're going to tip more.
Sure.
Or tip at all.
Sure.
If the server did you a disservice, didn't get your food right, didn't serve it hot, didn't do some things, a lot of people either don't tip or they tip the minimum, okay, and then go about their day. I do want to bring this up to you, though, in a different way, shape, and form, because I wanted your opinion on this, okay? Because I think we're both, whether you tip or not, I think as long as you're going $20 a dance, that's the going rate, that's what was discussed, then you're doing your part.
Yeah.
Okay. So I'm not going to call out anybody by name, but I saw on social media, on multiple different social media posts, someone that we both know went through a drive-thru. The person behind them was not happy with how fast they were placing their order, with what they were doing. They were honking. They were flipping them off.
Okay.
So said person we both know proceeded through the drive-thru, got to the first window, said, I want to pay for who's behind me. Okay. And you got to bear with me through this whole story because I think you're going to be
listening.
You're feeling good right now. Okay. So person at the drive-thru said, okay, they ordered this, this, and this, and this is how much it costs. So person we know not only paid for theirs, paid for woman behind them. Okay? Continue to the next window. Where person we know picked up their food and the food that was supposed to go to the car behind them and left. And said on social media, I did this to teach that a lesson because now they have to turn right around, get back in that long-ass line, wait again to order their food again, and that's why you don't honk, you don't do the things that you did, because they did point out that once they got to the window to pay and found out that our person we know paid for theirs, they didn't even want to look at the car. They didn't want to acknowledge. They felt guilty because of the fact that... So I was all along, I was going along with this and reading this, and I'm thinking, wow, way to be above the situation. Way to pay for the person behind you that is hitting their horn, flipping you off, doing all these things. I don't know that I felt the same when I found out they took their food.
Yeah, that's kind of funny, though, actually.
It's hilarious, but I don't know that I could... I thought that was almost too mean.
I don't know if it was too mean, because number one, we're not sure if he had to wait back in line all the way. How do you know that the customers didn't let him just wait at the window for their for them to remake the order? How do we not know that? Or do you know that for a fact?
I don't.
Because that's number one. Number two, I feel like if anything, if they didn't make him go back in line, then the only thing that they made him wait was an extra 5-10 minutes for the food. It's fast food. So I don't know if it was that mean, to be honest with you. I think it's funny. I'm not mad at that person, and I don't think
someone
I would.
Someone said this is a national. No, this is a local person that I know personally. Nick knows and has had interactions with. So it's not like this was a made-up story. This was someone that I know personally. That put.
I love it. Yeah. I'm not mad at it at all. And I'm not sure if the person behind him had to go back in line. Now, if that person had to go back in line or the woman had to go back in line, I guess you said it was a woman that was flicking him off, right?
Yes, yes.
Okay. Then yeah, I guess that makes it even funnier. But no, I love that. That's actually creative. I would have never thought of that, to be honest with you. If I was getting honked at, I would have never thought of that, to be honest with you. But that's a funny ass story.
Yeah. So I thought I'd throw that out there and see how you felt about it, because I was like, I don't know. I was like really willing to give them compliments, going, boy, you really handled that maybe better than even I would have. But I thought it was going to end with, hey, so I picked up the tab on there, so maybe next time they'll think twice before they go blowing horns and flipping people off.
It would have been funnier if it would have been funnier if he took their food. He's like, oh yeah, I paid for your food. Here it is. Here's your taco. And then he like chunks the taco at the windshield, and there's like taco sauce and ground beef and just Taco Bell all over the. I think that would have been funnier. Now he probably would have went to jail, and that wouldn't have been a good move. That might be something stupid enough, something I would do. But I think that would have been funnier, like throwing all the food all over the car. Now, that's vandalism and illegal, obviously. And I would, you know, not encouraging to do that. But I think that would have been funnier.
Now, if someone thought it was Barry, it was not. Okay? I'm going to clarify that right now. Now, Donna thinks she knows the person and that it's the same.
They're all going to guess now.
Yeah. Perfect. Then they're doing what they're supposed to do. But I'm not revealing who the person was because I didn't ask them if I could. But just reading it, I was like...
Okay, let me ask you this. How do you think Mark Berman would react to this? I'm not saying Mark Berman did it. How would he react in a situation like that? If someone was honking at him, flicking him off, I don't think he would react the same way.
Cough a few times, and then he'd probably roll down the window. And because it was a woman, he'd probably say more than if it was a dude that was angry, because he don't want to fight nobody.
Yeah, it wouldn't be a good move for him to fight anybody. What is he, like 4'11"? I think he's shorter than Charlie Polillo, if I'm not mistaken.
I'm going to leave that right there where it lies.
He's like 4'11". It's a fact. He's a short dude. I tower the guy, and I'm like 5'9". That's a fact.
Who, Charlie or Mark?
Both.
Okay.
Yeah. What?
Someone thinks there's people lining up thinking it's Barry. No, Barry was out of town this weekend. Barry was doing a show in New Braunfels. It was not Barry. And I'm not giving you any more information than that. All right, we got a half hour to go to the program, and then we're going to turn it over to the Blitz. So we still got plenty to get to. If you guys want to join in on the conversation, it's been great. 713-780-3776, HRP listener line. Call that number. Text that number. Hit us up on Twitch and Twitter as we're interacting throughout the program and so much more. It's the Press Box. It's ESPN.
ESPN 97.5 and ESPN 92.5. Warrior sound! Real. Fun. Sports. This is the Press Box on ESPN 97.5.
And on ESPN 92.5.
Powered by Infuse Energy, affordable, hassle-free energy from a company that has your back. Live from the Veritex Community Bank Studios, here's Joel Blank and Nick Sciarra.
Hey, having a blast on the first show in studio of the new and improved Press Box, as it's Nick and myself now 3 hours a day, 1 to 4, our old time slot. You guys seem to love it too. Love the responses from everybody and the fact that they keep chiming in and letting us know and giving us feedback, good, bad, and otherwise. No, Troy, it is not and was not Barry. I will tell you it was a female, so we can cut all that out now and no more comments on Barry. Thank you. So got that out of the way.
I was shocked to learn who it was when you texted me. I'll say that much. And I know we won't reveal anything, but I was shocked.
So other news of the day as we get down to it again. Oregon upsets Iowa as they advance to the Sweet 16. The Zags, well on their way to beating Oklahoma, now up 10 with 3.5 to play. Rest in peace, former Lakers star and longtime Clippers executive Elgin Baylor, passing away today at 86 years old. So RIP to one of the high flyers and an NBA legend in Elgin Baylor. So that's something that we talk about there. Astros currently, it's final now. They beat the Mets 5-4. So if you were concerned about your Astros and how they did, is they've been stretching out some of the pitchers to at least 5 innings. Dusty Baker with some great comments about the fact that he just loved what U of H was able to do yesterday, and especially
he talked about the Giroux. He did?
And the fact that anytime you see a player that's fighting through injury, didn't as see a that. Coach, you love that. So that was cool.
And you can also get your pre-sale tickets for April today, and then you can get your regular tickets officially tomorrow for all of April only as well. I think the Astros put it out because it is a 50% capacity that is reported, I believe, by where Lisa works. I think Randy at Channel 2.
Randy McAvoy.
Tweeted it out. If that's the first person I saw. So 50% capacity, that's about 22,000 people at Minute Maid Park if they do reach 50%. I asked a few people in Twitch as to whether or not they feel comfortable with going. Some people said yes. Some people said no. Fake Tony Stark was one of them. He's like, I want to go. I want to check it out. The Rangers we talked about is 100% capacity for opening day. Look, you know, I think the one thing that you have for the Astros is that at 50% capacity, I would imagine it's going to be a hell of a lot better attendance than going to a Rockets game at capacity. I think that's safe to say. You've got a decent team in the Houston Astros. Yeah, they're coming off of that cheating scandal still because people haven't taken their shots yet, I guess. But they are the most promising team, without a doubt, of the three teams in the city. If it's any team you're going to look forward to, has to be the Houston Astros. I think there's no question.
Well, I mean, a lot of people put a lot of hope on the Cougs basketball team and your Houston Astros to save them for what otherwise could be doomsday for a long period of time when you're talking about the Rockets and where they're at. And of course, the Texans in this situation that seems to be getting... Now, this is something I wanted to bring up with the Texans, Nick, because obviously we've been totally focused, and rightfully so, on the number one story, which is this Watson story with all the allegations and Busby and Rusty Harden and everything that goes with it. One thing I do want to say, which I've been adamant about saying throughout, I felt really bad, like I said, for Steven Silas, but I also have felt bad for Nick Caserio. I want Houston's fans to give this guy the benefit of the doubt. I like what he's done so far. Over the
Nick
weekend,
is intelligent.
Yes, and he likes to build a wall, and I've done that with Legos when I wasn't playing video games on the floor in my office, Cal.
We're going to build a wall. Yeah.
But no, I see what you're saying.
Dude brought in Philip Lindsay.
He's working. There's no question. I don't know what you're more impressed with or more surprised with, the way the Texans are doing, handling their business, or with the Patriots and the owner committing all that money to the Patriots. I thought that was interesting. And as you know, Nick Caserio came from that Patriots tree that we always allude to. I'm not mad at Nick Caserio at all. I've been pretty transparent. Not transparent, but I've been upfront about this guy since day one. If it's anybody that I want to be a face of this team, I don't want it to be McNair. I don't want it to be anybody else. Cully. I want it to be Nick Caserio. He's been around. He's never had the general manager title with the New England Patriots, sure. But he's been in these meetings. He has experience. And when it comes down to answering questions from the media, he has common sense when he approaches it. He knows when to stop talking. He gives you just enough information to satisfy your question, and he moves on. And that's exactly what the Texans need right now when it comes down to the roster. Deshaun Watson situation, that's completely different. I mean, I guess people would argue for more transparency in that because you're talking about women's lives, and if it's any of it's true, I mean, that's bad. But when it comes down to the roster, he gives you just enough information that you need, answers the question correctly, and but to I'm me, none about, of the moves he's made shows it's going to be bad.
I'm going to the personnel he's bringing in, too. King, massive upgrade in the secondary. Loved it. The fact that he went out and made a trade and got a pass rusher with J.J. leaving, with Shaq Lawson. We'll see how it turns out, but I liked it. The fact that you got a cheap running back, that Philip Lindsay, that's going to add to another cheap running back that's experienced like Mark Ingram, that if Johnson is indeed going to have another stinker of a year that's not that great, you've got two experienced running backs that might have a lot to prove and something left in the tank, and the fact that these are all short-term, cheap deals that get you through the pandemic and a season of suck. And if they perform well, you may be willing to go long-term with them after you're done clearing up cap hell of Bill O'Brien and the fact that you can figure out whatever you're going to do with Watson and you can get through a draft. I like everything Nick Caserio's doing. I think that fans should be open-minded and give him the benefit of the doubt because he's not Jack Easterby, because he's not a guy that doesn't have football experience, because it seems like he learned a lot from Bill Belichick other than the other two yahoos, one still here in Easterby, one we just got out from under and they're still dealing with in O'Brien. I like Nick Caserio so far, just like I like Steven Silas, and we should give him the benefit of the doubt. I did want to say that.
I'm with you on that. And the Philip Lindsay situation, I guess you're banking on the fact that he might be able to be something of, I don't know, I guess 18 or 19. He's still young. I think he's only 26 years old. So I think the expectations is realistic when it comes down to a lot of these signings that Nick Caserio have. So in some cases, I feel like if they don't pan out, it doesn't necessarily make him a bad general manager yet. It's just way too early, but I like the moves that he's making. In 2018, Philip Lindsay rushed for 1,037 yards. 2019, 1,011. And I think 500.
He's young.
502, but he played less games.
Well, but last year, now remember, they made the big splash, and they went and got my guy from Wisconsin that had been with the Chargers, that wanted Melvin Gordon, that needed the ball a lot. So his carries suffered. But he's young. He doesn't have a whole lot of mileage on his wheels. He's got something to prove, and you could do a lot worse. I like it a lot better than Duke Johnson David Johnson.
No doubt. No doubt.
I'm all on board for that.
And I'm okay with a tandem of running backs that you know neither one are spectacular. I'm okay with that approach. It's not like you can't win with a tandem. But Duke Johnson, yeah, I did not like the Duke and David Johnson tandem. I did not at all.
And here's the thing. Just like I said when it was Aaron Jones re-signing in Green Bay and Williams ended up leaving, they had two. Last year they had three. You have to have at least two as a good NFL team. Injuries happen. Wear and tear happens.
Sure.
A lot of times you give a guy at his third set, he gets a set off of downs so he can rest. And you have to have someone that where you don't have a massive drop off. For all those reasons and many, many more, you need two quality running backs. I think you've got three guys to choose from. I don't have a whole lot of faith in Johnson, but I think if you give me Ingram and Lindsay, best case scenario, thunder and lightning. Worst case scenario, experienced NFL backs that are at least going to bring a lot to the table in terms of execution of plays, picking up blocks, that you're not, whoever the quarterback isn't going to get crushed, and you might get some good things. So I like that. I like the fact that he's trying to cheaply, but with, a veteran presence, reconstruct some of the defense. I think Caserio's doing some good things.
And he still has time to work. He still has time to work. It's not something that, like, we can't grade him based on what he... Look, even with Stone, I mean, you've been pretty patient about, look...
I have been.
You'll criticize the moves that he has. You'll give him props for the moves that you felt like were good. We can't grade
Stone. Body of work. Exactly. Just like everybody jumped on and said, see, Joel, you're wrong. He's the man. I told you who he was as a person from personal experience.
Right.
I also read you articles that backed it up, that he and Daryl don't care about people's lives, and they don't care about screwing people over. But I also said, in terms of what he does as the general manager of the Rockets, I'll grade him as the moves happen and over the body of work. So far, for all of you that jumped high for joy when he made the moves for Harden and Westbrook, are now also realizing what I've said. Those draft picks don't look as good today as they did that day. And you didn't have a backup point guard till you made a move. And by the way, DJ Augustine, hate to break it to you, sat out, probably not because he's hurt, probably because there's still hope that they can move him on somewhere else, and they don't want another Eric Gordon situation where Eric Gordon is tradable and all of a sudden he's not because he's hurt. And that contract hurts you every day. So we'll wait with every move that passes to grade. But right now, what you need to do is stop pursuing Aaron Gordon for a quick fix, because he's not that. And start realizing rationally, We are in a rebuild. We need as many draft picks as possible.
You don't like the Aaron Gordon idea at all.
I don't, because you already have Christian Wood. If I have Christian Wood, I don't need Aaron Gordon.
Yeah, I mean, you got because you and I tend to agree with you. I don't think either one of them is a five.
And I also don't like it, but because in everything that you read, you have to give them multiple first-round picks that you just worked your tail off to get.
Yeah.
In the Harden deal,
I don't like. I'll tell you this right now. I will jump on the train of pooping all over the Rockets and your boy Rafael Stone in the event they're giving up first round picks just to secure this Aaron Gordon deal. You do not know what you're going to get in terms of mesh. And how do we even know Aaron Gordon wants to come over here, to be honest with you?
Like, I think probably anything's better than Orlando, but I you're right.
I mean, you're going from a crap both NBA market rebuilding to another crap NBA market right now. I mean, Orlando, like, don't you want a significant step? I mean, look, I don't know. I don't know what Aaron Gordon's thinking, but I don't know if you want to. I don't know if you want to come to Houston if you're Aaron Gordon, to be honest with you. You know?
I mean, I think that any way, shape, or form you get out from a bad situation, your first druthers are. Look, DJ Augustine is the exact opposite, right? He was a winning team in Milwaukee with guaranteed money for this and one more year, and now all of a sudden that's pulled out from under you. The first thing you're hoping for is they're going to move me again before the deadline so I can get with another winning team. And evidently, from what you read in the rumor mill, several winning teams with playoff aspirations are interested in DJ Augustine. Again, win-win. So Rafael Stone traded PJ Tucker to get some assets. He's also now has the ability to trade one of the assets that he got from that trade to get more assets. Keep doing it.
Yeah, I'm not on board with giving up the first round picks right now unless you're bringing back something that's so amazing. And I can't think of that off the top of my head right now. So I'm not for that. And Eric Gordon doesn't do it for me. Aaron Gordon, and the report that I saw, and I could have just had bad memory. I'm not giving up first round picks just to get rid of Eric Gordon. I'm not doing that. Are you doing that?
That's the thing.
That's so dumb.
I'm done Daryl Morey-ing and giving up picks to entice people to take my overpaid contract. I'm all about giving up my overpaid contracts to take back picks. I'll do one, not the other, and I'm with you 100%. If it's not adding assets and putting more food back in the cupboard, I ain't all about giving up the draft picks that I just gave up James Harden for. I'm not doing it.
Agreed. Right. Agreed.
We got one segment to go on the show. It's been a fun time so far. Hopefully you'll be along for the finish of the ride. By the way, the Blitz coming up 4-7. It's Aaron, it's Fred, it's AJ. It's that great show that you love listening to on your way home. It's the afternoon lineup. It's ESPN.
ESPN 97.5. This is the Press Box on ESPN 97.5
and on ESPN 92.5.
Powered by Infuse Energy, affordable, hassle-free energy from a company that has your back. Live from the Veritex Community Bank Studios, here's Joel Blank and Nick Sciarra.
All right, here we go. Rolling through the final segment of the show. It's been an absolutely fantastic first day in the studio for the new and improved Press Box. It's not the post-game show anymore. It's your afternoon destination on ESPN, as Nick and I are going to be with you for the foreseeable future, 1 to 4, back in our old time slot, doing
yes,
what
indeed
we love to do. Glad you've been along for the ride and talking to us.
Now, Joel.
Yes.
I thought all the stupid people in the country only exist in Florida.
Mostly, as we talked to Dell about, they do.
But apparently there's some idiots in San Diego as well.
Oh, you got that right. So I was scrolling through things for the show this morning, and Lisa's home. She's taking a few days of vacation, and I showed her the video, and of course she's also an animal person. So I knew right away this was going to be a hard thing for her to call because she loves kids and her family, and she has a soft spot, obviously, because she's a mom. But she also loves animals. But this was just one of the dumbest things I've ever seen in my life because I had to ask the question. So here's the deal. So a father has his less than 2-year-old daughter in his arms and they're at the San Diego Zoo, the world-renowned San Diego Zoo. There's a bunch of people there as well. They're looking at the outdoor animal display for the elephants. Okay? It's a wild jungle-like setting outdoors with obviously multiple elephants, including some really big ones. I don't know, first and foremost, what kind of dumbass dad believes that there's a better view to be had for a 2-year-old who is never going to remember her first experience at a zoo with elephants.
Exactly.
But he thinks that there's a better view to be had if he goes under the fence into the middle of the exhibit. And then the other step two in stupidity, besides first, number one is making the decision to bring your two-year-old daughter into the exhibit.
I just tweeted out the video at Pac-Man Joel, yes, with a K, at the producer Nick.
Yes.
Did you notice that there was two barriers, right?
Yes. Okay. So there's another, that's another stupidity move. Okay. Step three, when inside exhibit with said massive animals, don't turn your back when holding your two-year-old daughter. And then finally realize that when being charged at by, I would guess, 2-ton grown elephant, you decide to make a run for it and get under the fence that you snuck under in the first place. You drop your two-year-old daughter on her face on the ground and you get under the fence first and then drag her through. The elephant could have stepped on her
and killed her and killed him.
What kind of dumbass are you? Child Protective Services should be saying that girl's coming with me.
Oh, I'm sure they've already arrested him. I think the bond was set to $100,000. I'm not even sure if that's enough. I mean, I'm not a father. I can imagine how you would feel in a situation like this. But that's what gets to me the most. So there's a barrier. You cross that barrier. You're officially in an area where nobody in the zoo is supposed to be unless they're employed by the zoo. Then you cross the second barrier, go about 10 or 15 feet into it, and think the elephant is not going to react some way. Who happens to weigh, 2 tons? Unbelievable. Like, this guy has to be the biggest moron ever. Now, thank God there wasn't a Harambe situation, because that would have been bad. But yeah, it was close to it. It was kind of close to it, and they both could have lost their lives. What an absolute idiot. Now the San Diego, now the zoo is going to have to put even bigger barriers. That's probably going to obstruct the view even more, because a grown-ass adult doesn't know that this barrier means you're not supposed to cross it. You moron.
I just don't understand sometimes. Like, I personally.
Dude, he dropped her hard.
I got mad.
He just straight dropped on the ground.
Months. One, I'm not going to be the guy that thinks I can get a better view by going over one fence, under another, and getting into an exhibit with any wild animal. That's not me.
Yeah, I just.
But you're thinking and making a decision for a child who can't make their own decisions yet and putting them in harm's way. You should not be a father on an everyday basis watching a child.
And guess what? That's going to be a question that's going to be brought up. Are you a fit father? You know what I mean? Let's be real. That's good. I mean, shouldn't you at least evaluate the psyche of this guy at the very minimum to see if he's all there? So it's obviously a serious case. If your bond's going to be set for $100,000, I don't know how rich or poor this guy is. I know he's not rich with knowledge. He's an absolute moron.
He's a dumbass. And so I just to me, it's like you got to be a special kind of stupid to do something like
that. You really do. I was looking at it, I was like, is this like a dumb uncle? I didn't even want to believe it was a father. Like, is this like a dumb uncle trying to, like, you know, impress his niece or nephew or something? Like, I don't understand what that situation was about, but it's a pretty stupid ass situation. So,
I mean, and here's the other one. I don't know if you saw this or not. I tweeted it out this morning, but dumbass number two. Okay. You're an aspiring golfer. You're probably in your late teens. You get, or you have, one of those nifty golf nets that you can set up in your backyard where you can hit full-blown real golf balls into a net, hard as can be, and practice your golf swing, okay? Tip number one, don't have the net facing the house. Have it facing the neighbors or away from the house. Step number two, when setting it up with said net, make sure you apply secured ties on the bottom so that the net isn't loose on the bottom. Therefore, when you hit a low iron shot, the net doesn't just fly up and ball goes through. Dumbass broke his living room window, and you can hear his parents screaming after it goes through the window, and he's posing like he hit a great golf shot. You are another dumbass.
How old is this kid, or is this an adult?
He looks to be probably late teens.
Okay.
And it's on my Twitter page.
At Pac-Man.
Yeah, I mean, he's all like into the pose and hits, makes good contact. And you can just see the ball just rifle through the bottom of the net and go right through the living room window. And you're like, what kind of dumbass puts his net towards the house.
You lack some common sense there. If you're doing it right in front of the house, you kind of lack some common sense. Hopefully you learn from it there, buddy. But speaking of nets to set up, I saw this one dude. He kind of like ghetto rigged this like rebounding net where basically after every shot, there's like another massive net around the basketball goal. And it just kind of falls into like this little empty paint bucket. And then this paint bucket is basically shooting the basketball back to where you were shooting it from. Now, if I get this little concoction or whatever it is, I definitely think I can shoot 85% from the free throw line. I think there's no question because it's an unbelievable idea. And you just get those reps in. So I think that's what I'm going to do. I'm going to make this little bucket with this net where it basically rebounds the ball for you and it throws it back. And I think there's no doubt that I'll shoot 85, maybe even 90% from the free throw line.
I bet on that like I was at my bookie. I can tell you that right now because you ain't doing that whether there's a little
you don't know that. You haven't seen me shoot free throws.
Or you're in a gym or maybe even on a
You haven't seen me shoot free throws.
Yes, I have.
You've seen me play basketball
and
not shoot free throws.
No, you had to shoot free throws to get into the next game.
That was behind the three-point line.
No,
how do you know I'm not as
good? No, you start at the free throw line if you remember how we do it.
Yeah, that's right.
Yeah.
And I made it, right, because I was so good at it.
No, you did not. Can I ask you this?
Yes.
So your boy Kanye is going through this divorce with Kim K.
I saw that story.
Now, People Magazine, it's a legit source, lists his net worth at $6.6 billion. And they're saying it's basically because of the Yeezys and all that. You buying that?
I'm not gonna discredit it only
that's
because
a whole lot of money, Nick.
But those Yeezys were going for like several thousand. Remember, we were going.
Yeah.
Remember, and people and the numbers apparently were pretty big. I mean, outside of
since
his
Kim
production,
K has no talent. Is she going to get a whole piece of that? Probably right, unless there was a
prenup. She doesn't need to, man. She's darn that. I mean, maybe. I mean, she maybe Kanye has upset her to the point where yeah, she does want some. But who's worth more? Kim Kardashian or Kanye West? I would imagine Kim Kardashian. Is that safe to say?
It's worth more?
I don't know. I'm asking.
I don't think so.
I don't know.
I don't care how much Keeping Up with the Kardashians is. And remember now, Kim's sister with her makeup line and everything like that got to be the first billionaire or whatever it is under a certain age. I don't think Kim's got $6.6 billion.
Right.
You?
It's not even a bill. You're
See?
Right. You're
I didn't
right.
think so. I think Kanye's way over that.
Well, I mean, if it's two things that absolutely pushed his career over the top, I would imagine it's the unbelievable production early on, and then his first two or three
first
big
albums were good, school,
you know, yeah, and then the fact that the Yeezys, you coupled that with the Yeezys,
someone said they had a prenup, so then Kim's not getting a part of that.
Why would she though? I mean,
I know because he's fell off the deep end recently, and his music hasn't been his last album. He did the whole thing with the choir and was at Lakewood Church, and so it's fallen off, but. The first couple albums were good. I know that the product line is when he did the pop-up store in the Galleria, they were lined up and sleeping overnight on the streets to get in. So, but I didn't think it was 6.6. I could see a bill. I could see maybe two bill.
See,
I didn't
that's
see
what
6.6.
I thought it was going to be somewhere like, I thought, okay, well, if Kanye West is 6.6 bill, then I was thinking, okay, well, Kim Kardashian probably is at least over a bill. But she, according to what I saw, I don't think she even breaks a billion.
Someone says his true net's 1.8. I think it's hit. Someone tried to text that his true net is 1.8, Bill.
Oh, really?
I don't know if that's true.
I don't
false.
Pay
People
attention.
People Magazine listed it at 6, and that's a pretty credible source, but they had it at 6.6. I thought it was high. I don't know what you guys think, but evidently everybody is saying that there is a prenup and that Kanye's keeping his and Kim gets hers. And what's Kim's worth? Did you look that up?
I'm looking it up right now.
Because I think it's Kylie that got to the bill mark. She's worth a bill, but I don't think that, I didn't think, I don't know. Well, Kim's got a couple of different ventures that are, and the whole series itself brings in a lot of money.
From what I see on USA Today as of 2020, or according to Forbes. Oh, wait, actually that's wrong. That's a wrong net worth. Let me pull it out right now so I can make sure it's the right one. I don't know. I don't know. I know Kylie's doing super well because of the makeup line and the Instagram account.
Yeah.
But I don't know if she's reached a billion.
Oh, no. The Forbes magazine came out with the youngest. I think it was either youngest female or just youngest to cross the billion-dollar mark. But she definitely crossed a bill.
Well, look.
Not Kim. Kylie.
Look, I don't know. I don't know if Kanye West. I don't know if Kanye, if Kim Kardashian hates Kanye West to the point that she wants, but I don't think she needs it. So I don't see why. And I can see in a relationship like that why they would both have a prenup. I feel like we're entering an era where it's going to be common, even among average folk, that you kind of get a prenup. I feel like that era is coming, right? Oh. Like, you know what I mean? Like, even if you're not rich, it doesn't mean it's not love.
I think if you have anything to lose, the way marriage has been going these days, like, it was never a consideration for us. But at the same time, I know my good friends, and I told you the one story where we could actually see it before it even got to the point of marriage, where we were encouraging one of my really best friends that he needed to get one. And when they say love is blind, he didn't, and she drained him of everything. I think that's when, you know, I just think that, you know, more times than not, if it is meant to be and it is true love, then you never need to worry about whether you had a prenup or not, but you have one just to be safe. And if you don't, then you take your chances.
In this case, I don't think any of them will hurt for money if the divorce is completed. So at least they can, I guess they can look at that as a positive. In Kanye's world, I guess he lost his wife. So apparently this was in the making.
And multiple kids, too. I mean, so
we'll I don't know if she was going to do all that. I don't know if she'll be able to do that.
I don't know how much custody he's going to have with the way he's been going off the handle.
Because he's kind of going crazy, yeah.
All right, shout out to AR Platinum, who was listening and loves us getting back to the old time slot. We love you, appreciate you, so thanks for listening. And then the story we didn't get to in total, but one worth mentioning that I thought you'd love, Nick. I don't know if you saw this, but the kid that wrestles 125 for the NCAA Wrestling Championships he wrestles for Iowa.
Uh-huh.
Won the national championship, and then during the interview, basically said, ain't got no effing time for people that can't handle it. I wrestled without an ACL. Now I don't have ACLs in both knees. I need surgery, but I won the damn title.
Wow, I didn't see that.
Very impressive.
That is impressive.
Yeah, so that's worth mentioning.
Hey, wrestlers are tough, dude.
Someone said 900 mil for Kim. I don't know if that's true or false, but good for her for having
6.6 billion is a lot of money.
Not exactly known for any kind of talent unless you ask.
You're
Ray
saying
J,
Kanye's worth more than basically a lot of the NBA owners. Right, definitely worth more than Tillman Fertitta. If you're saying if it was six,
what was Till
2.34? It was like
well,
4 billion.
It depends because someone said that 1.8 total true worth was from Forbes. So Kanye's in the Tillman range then.
Yeah.
I don't know. All right, we got to go.
Good
Blitz
show, man.
Is coming up next. Great show for show number one in the studio. We got more tomorrow. Hopefully, you'll be back for more of that. Stay tuned for the Blitz. They're coming up next. ESPN. We want prenup.